Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, this is the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now, let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into the Drive On Podcast. Today I have Mark DeLuzio, who is not only my father, but also a Gold Star father. We're going to talk about a service that he's providing to veterans who are aspiring entrepreneurs or looking for career advice. I briefly talked about this service in episode 5, which if you haven't listened to it yet, you might want to go give that a listen too. So Dad, before I go on too much about what you do, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I have a pretty extensive business background in corporate America. I made it up to a very high levels in the corporation. I started out in finance, went into operations, general management. I was also the architect of something that we call the Danaher Business System, which is one of the most sought-after lean manufacturing or lean management systems in the country and perhaps even the world. For the last 18 years, I've been in my own consulting business, actually consulting in that space. And I've worked with all kinds of different companies, big companies, small companies, all kinds of different industries. So that's what I do. So I have a lot of business experience, how to run a business, and also a lot of entrepreneurial experience that I feel I can really offer to help others. So that's kind of my background. And I have an MBA in operations management. I have an accounting degree, a bachelor's degree. I have a bachelor's degree in marketing. And I'm certified in a number of different areas, so that's what I do. And that's a real quick snapshot of my background.
So the service that we're talking about today is called BRAVE, which stands for Business Reviews and Advice for Veteran Entrepreneurs. And it's basically a service that you provide to veterans who are looking to start up a business, looking for career advice, that type of thing. So how did you get the idea to start BRAVE?
Yeah, just a slight correction. It's Business Reviews and Advisors to Veteran Entrepreneurs. Slight little change, but no big deal. How did I start that? Well, you know, like most people, I would say, and this is not a criticism, I think most Americans in general enjoy their life, enjoy their freedoms, quite frankly, take their freedoms for granted. And I was one of those people, quite frankly, until my two sons entered the military. Then I got to see firsthand, well, maybe not firsthand, but I got to see very close up picture of what you guys went through and other veterans as well, as far as the sacrifice you make for the country. As probably a lot of people know, we lost Stephen, your brother, my son, in Afghanistan. He was a war hero like you were. You were lucky enough to come home. He didn't. And I got to see and know a lot of his brothers in arms after they all got back from Afghanistan, and I started seeing, you know, quite a bit of struggles that they went through, because, you know, I really do believe, Scott, that the military does a really good job at training you how to put the uniform on, but I don't think they do a really good job at teaching you how to take it off and integrate back into society. And you kind of touched on that on some of your previous podcasts in terms of what that's like, you know. So I got a lot of experience with that in terms of just, you know, secondhand experience, talking to these guys and starting to learn what's going on. Now, I personally didn't serve. I never put the uniform on. I missed Vietnam by about a year. And I felt guilty about it, you know. And so a lot of people say, hey, you know, you already served your Gold Star father. You had two boys over there at the same time in Afghanistan. I don't feel that way. So I said, well, what can I do, you know, with my background and expertise to help these guys as they come back? And that's really what gave the rise of the thought of BRAVE. You know, I'm not a PTSD counselor. I don't get into any of that. That's not my qualifications. I fundamentally believe to be a good PTSD counselor, you had to been in the arena of combat. That's just my personal opinion. I don't have any business consulting in that space, but I do have a lot of advice I could give to either entrepreneurs, how to construct a business, how to think about a business, or even somebody who needs career advice as well. So that's how I figured, you know, I could give back to these guys and gals. Matter of fact, a lot of my brave clients are women. How I can give back to them and actually contribute and maybe make a few people's lives a little bit easier. I'll never get to repay them the way I should, but this is my attempt to do that. You know, I do have a full-time consulting, global consulting business that I run. So I'm doing this more or less on a part-time basis, but after I retire, whenever that's going to be, I am planning on doing this, making this my full-time endeavor. It's a free service, Scott. It's not, I don't look for any money. It's not a 501c3. I don't want any money involved in this at all. Any expenses will be borne by me. If I have to get on a plane and meet a veteran, I will. It's at my cost. And there's no charges or anything like that. So that's basically kind of the essence of how we started this, how I started with Mom as well, you know. But we envisioned how we could perhaps help our heroes who are coming back and trying to integrate back into society. So.
And it's great that it's a free service that you're offering to these veterans, because a lot of times, you know, coming out of the military, you're not exactly, you know, rolling in the dough. You know, you're not
right.
You're not making a ton of money in the military, and you come out and now you have this great idea for a business, possibly, and you may not know where to get started. And so having somebody there who's been through the startup phase of a business, even just knowing the things that some businesses might take for granted, the filing the paperwork to get the business started and everything like that. Some people may just not have any idea what needs to be done with regards to that. Not to say that that's what you're doing necessarily, but you're providing that type of advice or service to kind of help guide them to be successful in whatever the business is that they're doing. So what are some of the common problems that you see veterans facing when they're looking to start a business or jump into a new career after getting out of the military?
Well, those are two maybe separate questions when you talk about a career or you talk about running a business. You know, everybody wants to aspire to be on their own. Not everybody. I would say a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur and run their own thing. You know, one of the things I found, Scott, was that a lot of people that came back try to integrate back into corporate America, for example. Right? Matter of fact, I have a couple of my clients in the Brave are in that space right now. And it's interesting because what I've learned about the military from afar is that the military is a lot more structured, a lot more black and white, a lot more accountable, very clear what your duties are and all that. And then you come into corporate America, and I deal at the CEO level of multi-billion dollar companies all the time, and they really think they've got a real tight-knit ship, and they really think that the lines of communication and responsibilities and accountability are so tight and buttoned up. And in reality, it's not like that in most companies. And so somebody from the military coming out of a combat zone in particular goes into that environment, and there's a lot of gray areas. Okay, there's a lot of gray areas. And it's not as crystal clear to them as it is to, you know, how it's perceived by the people that are running the company. So that's a big problem that I see with military people coming out and moving into, let's say, corporate America, for example. Okay, so that's one problem that I see. So what happens is a lot of my clients that I'm working for about 15 or 20 right now, they say, hey, you know, I want to start my own business, right? But where I help them, you know, yeah, I do all the paper. I can help them with filing tax ID numbers and getting a 501c3 set up and setting up an LLC or, you know, whatever form of corporation you want. But that's not really where I have the value. Anybody could do that. Where I have the value is more on the strategic side. And I ask the really tough strategic questions to a budding entrepreneur. The first thing I ask them is, why do you want to do this? Okay. And I listened to that. I had one guy tell me that I want to be able to spend more time with my family. And I pushed back and I said, wrong answer. Okay. Because if you're an entrepreneur and you know that well, Scott, you're one yourself, it's not a part-time job. Yeah, you do have some flexibility with your schedule and what have you, but it's a 24/7 endeavor when you have your own business. I hate to say it. And, you know, people look at me when I go on vacations. I take my computer with me. Well, you know, my clients don't stop living because I'm on a cruise for 2 weeks. Okay, so it's a 24/7 endeavor that you got to kind of keep in touch and all that. So, so that was the wrong answer. So I provide that kind of counseling to them. I talk about, you know, the other thing I ask them is, you know, do you want to create wealth or do you want to make a living? So let's just take somebody who's an electrician. They're an electrician, maybe in the service. Do you want to come in and just be a really good electrician and go out and do all kinds of electrical work, what I call grinding, okay? Or do you want to build a business of electricians and run a business? Because the more you do that and build this business, the less electrical work, which is maybe your passion, you're going to do. You're going to get into more management of people, and that's a different, totally different skill set than being an electrician. I kind of equate it to, and this is why I explain it. I say, you know, let's say you're a really good chef and you know how to make a really good meal and all kinds of different dishes. You're a top-notch chef. And now you say, well, I want to go open a restaurant. Well, what do you as a chef know about running a restaurant? Okay, it's a totally different endeavor. So it's great that you've got this skill set to be able to make meals or, you know, a really good electrician. But what do you know about running an electrical business? What do you know about running a restaurant? So I get into that kind of thing with them, and I don't try to dissuade them from doing it. I want them to understand that it's a different game when you say you want to run a business and get into your own show, okay? And then there's a whole set of other strategic questions that I ask. You know, what is your competitive advantage? Why, as an electrician, should I come to you? How do you differentiate yourself? Who's your market? How are you going to start up? Where are you going to get your first customers? How, you know, help them with that. What's your social media presence going to be? Your website, you know, all those different marketing and competitive analysis questions that you have to ask yourself. So those are the kind of things I take them. One of the big ones, quite frankly, is when they come back and say, well, I want to partner with somebody. And I walk them through the merits of having a partner or the disadvantages of having a partner. Most partnerships don't make sense. I won't go through that here today, but most partnerships are done for the wrong reasons. You know, for example, I had one that said, hey, the guy's my really good friend. And I said to him, well, that's good. I said, in a year, he won't be your friend anymore if he's your partner. Okay, so you really have to have a situation where 1 + 1 = 3 or greater when you have a partner. And typically, partnerships are 1 + 1 = 0.5 because all you do is you're hiring another set of hands to do some of the work that you could probably hire outside on a contract basis or an employee W-2 basis. And now you got a partner that you got to share the profits with. And so 1 + 1 in this case equals 0.5. So there's all kinds of dynamics that you have to think about when you go through a partnership. So that's the kind of advice I give these guys. I will go through and I will write strategic plans with them and really understand their business and get them on the right track, get them focused. I will do financial plans. I will even go to a bank to try to get a loan for these guys if I have to. And so we'll present our business plan to the bank and do that. So that's the kind of stuff. But the big struggle, going back to your original question, the big struggle I see is that not everybody really understands what going into a business means. And I try to clarify that and really bring some reality to them and what have you.
Yeah, and I definitely have seen that myself with the difference between the military and the corporate world, or, you know, any business really, the difference in the structure of the military versus the lack of structure in the corporate world or the business world, as a veteran might see it. Because in the military, there's always someone there saying, okay, this is the job, this is what you need to do, here are your orders, go do this. If you have something that needs to be done, some paperwork or whatever, there's a form for it. The military has thousands and thousands of different forms for everything. And so if there's something that you need to fill out for paperwork, it's there. And you know exactly what form you need to fill out. Whereas in the corporate world, I found it to be a little bit less structured, or maybe not less structured, but maybe structured in a different way where people are maybe expect that you just know what you're supposed to be doing as opposed to waiting for someone to give you orders. Now, I know in the military, a lot of people have, you know, the initiative and they go out and they see a problem, they go and try to do that themselves. But a lot of times people will sit on it and not necessarily jump into action on certain things until they get the orders to go ahead and do something. So interesting to see that, you know, that's a common problem that you're seeing, you know, amongst, you know, other, you know, veterans and stuff. When they're looking to, you know, start a business or being, you know, corporate America or whatever, how there is some sort of disconnect between, you know, civilian and kind of military.
Well, I also see, quite frankly, Scott, that the quality of leadership, I think, in my opinion, there's a stark difference between the leadership you see in the military and the leadership you see in corporate America. Okay, so a lot of the people in corporate America who have the big titles automatically assume they know how to lead people, and that's so far from the truth. It's amazing, and I've seen so many poor leaders in corporate America today. And you know, I think the root cause of all of this lack of structure and all that. You know, because I agree with you. When Stephen died, and our crisis assistance officer Joe Burke, you know, he basically said every time I asked him for something, he said, "Oh, there's a form." You know, very standardized. I think, quite frankly, that corporate America can learn from the military. I'm not saying that military doesn't have a lot of waste in it, but they can learn from the military in terms of how they structure and standardize. Because we have a saying in what I do in my field: the more standardized you are, the more flexible you are. And that's kind of counterintuitive, but it really is true. And so we've learned that from the Japanese, where I studied, and what have you. So
this next question is sort of another two-part question, in that, so like the first part is, what advice would you give to someone who may still have a few months left in their service, who they're nearing the end of their career in the military and they're starting to think about what those next steps are going to be for them when they get out of the military? They're looking to maybe start a business after they get out. What would your advice be to someone who's in that position, in terms of how to hit the ground running when they get out of the military? What types of things should they be looking to do before they even get out?
Well, I think the first question you have to ask yourself is really evaluate whether or not going into a business is the right thing to do, okay? Because for some people, it's not. It's not in their DNA. Some people need a security blanket. They need a constant paycheck and a steady stream of income coming in. And so you really have to evaluate yourself first in terms of whether or not you've got the DNA to weather the storms. You know, as you know, Scott, as an entrepreneur, there are ups and downs, especially in revenue, right? I mean, there's seasonal things. There's all kinds of different kinds of competition. There's all kinds of things. There's the economy. So it's not an easy thing to be an entrepreneur, number one. So you really have to really evaluate yourself as to whether or not you make sense. But I would say to a veteran that's got, let's say, 5-6 months left and know that he or she's going to retire, that they don't wait. They start now. Start getting advice. If you don't know what, you know, how to go about this, start reaching out to, there's a lot of organizations out there, but, you know, that's why I'm doing this. And you reach out to somebody like me at the Brave to just start the ball rolling instead of conversations, you know, because I think the earlier you start and prepare yourself, planning is everything. It really is. And so, as soon as you can get the ball rolling and start thinking about what this is going to look like, you know, if you go to my website, I have a survey on there that they have them fill out. It's a list of 15 or 18 questions or what have you. And that gives me the basic understanding of what the business is all about. And I can then start the conversation with them to be able to say, you know, start the tough questions. You know, I ask a lot of tough questions and, you know, so, and they're not easy to answer, but it makes people really think. So the worst thing I could say is that if you don't have the DNA to be in business, but you want to be in business, you're probably going to fail. Okay, and there's a lot of failure rates in business. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure it's structured the right way. If it really is more of a career type of thing, then I have some very good advisors. You being one of them, but I have very good advisors on my website for the Brave, One of them is a very established human resources executive named Bob Piazza, who I worked with. He has a senior HR human resource position at the company I came from called Danaher. And he has a 10-step process. So if somebody comes to him for career advice, the fifth step in that process is write the resume. There's a lot of preamble to understanding what it is you want to do and what your DNA is and all that kind of stuff. So it's a 10-step process that we put our veterans through who are looking for career advice and directions as to where they should focus. So I don't know if I answered the question or not, but that's, don't sit back and just wait till the day you get out to start thinking about this. And
right.
The sooner you can make some decisions about what the right direction is to go, then the better off you're going to be.
And what about, so the second part of this question is, it's similar to the first part, but what about somebody who's already been out for a period of time? They've already been out for maybe a couple of years, and they've been bouncing back and forth between different jobs for a while. And now they're starting to think, well, maybe the being an employee is not for me. Maybe I need to, branch off on my own and start a business or something like that. So what would your advice be to someone like that?
Well, that what you just described is reality, okay? Because several of my, a few of my brave clients today, because I only started this about a year ago, so some of my brave clients are exactly in that position right now. And so first thing I would say is, don't quit your job too early, okay? A lot of people get frustrated and they say, oh, I'm leaving, I'm going to start a business with really no platform to work from. So so don't let that current income stream stop while you're thinking about, because there's a lot of things you could do now while you're still employed to get ready for this, okay? And I will help you with that, that type of thing. My organization will help you with that. So first thing I would say, the first piece of advice is don't quit. Okay, just hang in there. Keep that paycheck coming in. What you don't want to do is get so distracted that you don't have the time or resources to focus on actually starting the business, because now you're looking to pay the bills and stuff like that. So there's a lot we could do while you're working to prepare for this. It may take 6 months, it may take a year. But there's a lot we could do concurrently while you're still employed to be able to get you set up for success. So that would be my main thing to think about here.
Yeah, and I think
don't panic.
Right. That's great advice to have, because I can definitely see how someone gets frustrated with their job, or maybe this is their second or third job after getting out of the military, and
right.
And they're fed up with it because they don't fit in, or they don't feel like they are really belonging in that job environment or whatever, and they decide, I'm just going to quit now, and I'll get started on this on Monday, and I'll have a business up and running by the end of the week, and then
right.
That's not reality. Like that's not how that's going to work. There's a lot of legwork that needs to be done before you start a business to get everything, all the wheels in motion and everything. And you mentioned, they don't have a platform, an audience to even, advertise their business to necessarily. And so that building those connections, networking and things like that is probably part of it that they can do beforehand, nights, weekends, things like that, while they're still working at their job. And starting a business is hard for anybody to start. But it's even harder when you're worried about how to keep the lights on and put food on the table, because now you have no money coming in. So so definitely, I think that's some great advice to people who are considering it, who are working a job. And this is not unique to veterans who are looking into this. This is for anybody who's looking to start a business. Keep your day job while you're working on that, and until you start making a little bit of income on that side business, that you
right.
Test it out and see, like, is this even something that's viable?
Right.
Because it may not be. And like you said, there's a bunch of businesses do fail over the first couple of years. So if you're doing this and you're struggling to make any kind of income, at least you still have that job and you're not shooting yourself in the foot by doing that.
Well, the other thing too, Scott, I just want to bring up, because you hit on that in one of your earlier podcasts, is that a lot of people that come out of the military that I've been exposed to have the notion that they don't really have any skills to be able to work in civilian life, okay? And it is so far from the truth, you know? And it's really kind of how you think about what you've done in the military and how you repackage what you've done, you know? And one of the things I do is I do help veterans rewrite their resume, because there's a lot of what I call TLAs, three-letter acronyms, that only the military understands. And so, you know, I help them kind of sensitize their resume to civilian life. But if you think, a lot of people think about their experience as hard skills, okay? Well, I was an artillery guy, okay? So there's no call for that in corporate America or in business. Well, let's focus on the soft skills, okay? And think about the leadership and the risk taking and the decisions and the problem solving and all that stuff that you have to do. Yeah, you're not going to probably go to a corporation and put together a bunch of arsenal weapons to fire off at your competitor. That doesn't, you know, that's not going to happen. Right. But there's so many soft things that people just take for granted or don't even think about that we could package as the skill set of the individual, you know. So that's a real big deal. And the other thing I tell people is that the military does everything. You can't name one thing that the military does that corporate America does that the military doesn't do. They do marketing, they do recruiting, they do accounting, they do engineering, they do product development, they do all that stuff, right? So you can't name one thing, something that happens in corporate America that doesn't happen in the military. Plus, the military does some other stuff too that is maybe, you know, not legal for us to do.
Sure.
Okay, but
see what I'm saying? I think I gave this example in an earlier episode of the podcast, and it might be the same episode you're talking about, but, you know, something as simple and mundane as administering a urinalysis test, a drug test, in the military. I've done it before. I've done that type of thing. And it's uncomfortable, but we kind of like joke about it when we're in the military, because we're basically standing there watching a guy pee into a cup. And, you know, it's kind of an uncomfortable thing to have to do. And so we make jokes about it and everything like that. And we get through it and all that. But you can kind of repackage something like that into more of a integrity type thing, right? If you have a soldier who you're basically watching pee into a cup, but he's, you know, pouring something else into the cup because he knows that his urine's going to be tainted, and he's not going to pass the drug test, and you let him slide on that, well, that's an integrity issue, right? And so you can kind of repackage that a little bit differently. And instead of just saying, you know, I watched a guy pee into a cup, you could say, you know, something like, I ensured that our unit was ready to meet its objectives and perform at its utmost abilities by ensuring that the unit was drug-free and things like that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's just a matter of how you word the things, yeah, and how, yeah, you, how you think about them. Yeah. It's
What I would do on that one is I would say, I would put this on my resume. Oversaw the testing of scientific and medical chemical data analysis and collection, or something like that.
Right. I mean, that might be a bit of a stretch.
But, yeah, exactly.
But
just making a joke.
But it sounds a little bit better than, I was staring at some guy peeing into a cup. You know, like that doesn't really.
Well, why do they entrust you to do that? Let's tie into that, okay? The integrity that you showed, that they said, hey, you know, Scott DeLuzzi, I want you to go watch a guy pee in a cup, okay? You could have easily been dishonest or them not trusting you and all that. So that's what I'm talking about with the soft skills of that we don't bring out in terms of, you know, the military entrusted me with this.
Right.
You know, and that guy's going to fly an airplane down the line, a $25 million jet, and, you know, if he had drugs in his system, you know, he could have killed himself and a lot of other people, you know. So, I mean, just things like that, you know. So
You're saying like a $25 million jet, but there's, even at the lower levels of the military, there's all sorts of equipment that you're entrusted with.
Yeah, let's use a jet as an example, yeah.
But all sorts of expensive equipment.
Right.
There's, you know, all sorts of things that you end up having to be responsible for,
And that could kill somebody.
That, I mean, you leave it in the wrong place. Someone could pick it up and do bad right. things with it.
Right.
Or, you know, it falls into the enemy hands or whatever. So you're basically entrusted with all of this sensitive equipment that, you know, could make or break a situation. So, so that's good. So really good advice. It looks like we're actually kind of coming up on time. On this particular episode, why don't you, if you had any other thoughts that you wanted to say about Brave or anything like that, and tell us where people can find out more about Brave sure. and how to get in touch with you.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe final thought here, Scott, is again, this is my whole effort to be able to give back. You know, to guys like you, Steve, all the fellow. Patriots that have served and, you know, kept the bombs away from my door so I can go and get my latte at Starbucks. Oh, by the way, I don't go to Starbucks, but, you know, get my latte at Starbucks and complain when I don't get the right, you know, the right ingredients and all that. You know, you guys fought for that and you kept all that stuff away from me. And, you know, so there's absolutely no way I can repay, you know, everybody who's done this. But this is just, you know, my way of giving back. So, and you know, I've made enough mistakes in my life in business that, you know, I actually tell my clients in my consulting business, you should hire me because I made more mistakes than you have. And so my goal is to make sure our veterans don't make the same mistakes I made in things like partnerships and business in general. And if I can help them out and give them the right guidance, then I'm doing my job. So, anyway, The Brave, I have a website that you created, Scott. It's called www.forthebrave.org, and that's the number four, thebrave.org.
And I'll link to that in the show notes on the podcast okay, as yeah. well.
And so you can find me there. There's a survey. You click on the survey, fill it out if you want to get in touch with me. That will automatically send an email to me with your survey. And that will get the ball rolling with a lot of basic information that I'm going to need to start the discussion as to how I can help you. So that's where we are.
All right, great. Well, thank you for your time and talking to us about Brave and the things that you can do to help you know veterans start up their business or get some career advice.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.